Hey guys, I'm PCW superstar Chris Travis, an all-around best-looking guy in the UK, and you're listening to The Indie Corner.
Welcome guys, episode 93 of the Indie Corner with myself, Stuart Rogers. Hope you've all had a good week. This week, you know, I've been working tirelessly with on the IndieCorner.com, you know, loads of content going up on there, interviews and columns and that. A lot of work by Matt Clarkson. He's getting a lot of interviews for the site, so just want to publicly thank him for that. Still on the hunt for advertisers, even willing to have non-wrestling advertisers on the site now. So if anyone can help, you know, please get in touch. The site and the podcast, you know, do have running costs, you know, hosting it and etc. So please help where you can. Appreciate it, guys. And, you know, on that, I'll just get some plugs out of the way. Obviously, you can follow us and then tweet us on Twitter by searching at the Indie Corner. On Facebook, obviously, we've got the page as well. Have a search for the Indie Corner, give us a like. Interact with any of the posts that go up on there. And if you listen to the podcast via iTunes, please leave us a rating and review, and we'll, you know, because it'll help get the word out there. And like I say at the start, like I mentioned, check out theindiecorner.com. Great content going up there on a regular basis. And there are ways to support us on there. Banners from Amazon, High Spots and the Indie Corner web store. Using any or all of these will help the running cost of the site and podcast. So yeah, thanks in advance for anyone that does use them banners. Means a lot to us. So what's on this week? Well, we've got Dave Green. He's back with a couple of things for us. First, he'll be here to review the IPW / WXW show for this past weekend. And then he'll be back towards middle of the show to preview this weekend's upcoming Progress Chapter 18 show. Also, there's a segment with no name yet where I'll bring someone on to talk about a particular wrestler, team, or, you know, maybe even one day might be a promotion, I don't know. But this week we've got Joe Davis on to talk about Mark Haskins. You know, Haskins is a guy that both Joe and I are big fans of, and we just thought we'd have a little chat about him. Justin DiVigilio is back with some of his US indie news. Obviously he was missing last week, but he's back this week. And yeah, that's pretty much it. So what we'll do now, we'll go straight into a day's review of the IPW and WXW show from this past weekend.
It's yourself. This is Greedo, and you're listening to the UK's number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner. Hear you.
Hello there, this is Dave Green. I'm here on the Indie Corner podcast to give you a couple of segments today. First and foremost, I'm going to give you a review of the doubleheader show from WXW of Germany and IPW UK, which took place on the 15th of March, last Sunday, and took place in Tunbridge in Kent. This was a double header show, as I say. WFW started the events of the day off with a very good show. Not being totally familiar with the WXW myself, this was my first experience of them. From what I have seen of them, the shows in Oberhausen in Germany usually are rammed in the building and with fans surrounding the ring completely. Obviously, over here wasn't quite that. So I imagine it was a bit of a different atmosphere for the regulars for WXW that were performing that night. But a good show anyway. So the events went as follows. We started off with a four-way match between Britain's Chris Brooks and Tyler Bate against Kim Ray and The Rotation. A very good match. I had my first near-death experience at a wrestling show with The Rotation deciding to do a very huge top rope moonsault right into the third row, where very close to where I happened to be sitting. But unfortunately for him, he landed more in chairs than he did on his opponents. But anyway, the match was very good. Match ended with Chris Brooks tying up Kim Ray in an ankle lock variation. Both of them getting landed on by The Rotation doing a 450 splash, but Tyler Bate got the pin on The Rotation with an inside cradle. So a good opening match and very chaotic. The next match up was Mr. Bad Bones himself, John Klinger, taking on Jørn Simmons. And this was a decent match, good stuff, quite hard-hitting, and Bad Bones winning with the Wrecking Ball knees. Next up was a match I was particularly looking forward to, tag team action between the team of Chris Sabin and Will Ospreay taking on Tommy End and Michael Dante of the Sumerian Death Squad. Really great match. Shame it didn't last a bit longer, but very, very good match. Hard-hitting, a lot of aerial display, as you can imagine, from Sabin and Ospreay, with Michael Dante pinning Chris Sabin after a big spear. After the intermission, it was Croatian wrestler Sasa Kiel taking on Earl Jonathan Windsor. First time I've seen him playing the good guy role, so quite interesting to see there. Game display from Windsor, really good stuff. Hit a very nice Saito suplex on Kiel at one point, but Kiel was basically too much for him. Windsor did that one thing I don't really like in British wrestling, when the guy will call for the move he's about to do. So basically Windsor shouted out, knee, ran off the ropes and got caught in a belly-to-belly suplex, and Kiel pinned him. Next up was a very entertaining tag team match pitting the Pile Drivers, team of Carsten Beck, the WXW champion, and our very own Shah Samuels, against the team of Axel Dieter Jr. and DeMac, a.k.a. Hot and Spicy. Very entertaining pair, these guys were. Shah Samuels just solidified why he's one of my favourites at the moment. He was so entertaining in this. Really, really funny. Various moments during the match. Hot Spicy did get the win in the end with a double team Enziguri on Samuels. Main event between Dave Mastiff and the Axeman, Axel Tischer. His last tour of duty for WXW before he goes off to America. Good 10-minute match. Not the best thing I've ever seen in my life, but not too bad. Obviously, considering the two that were in there, it's going to be a good match anyway. Mastiff defeating the Axeman with the Cannonball. WXW, a good show. Obviously, I think in their own surroundings, it would have been more of a big show feel. But, you know, certainly a great effort by all the people there. And a well-received show from the IPW regulars in the crowd. The IPW show itself kicked off soon after that. This was their annual Battle Royale show. And a really stacked card for this one. Really, really good. Started the evening off with a tag team match. Sumerian Death Squad, Tommy End and Michael Dante against the London Riots in a non-title match. Referee for this one was the French lady referee, Artemis. She was solidifying, basically, her being evil by wearing a London Riots t-shirt as her referee gear. True to form, a lot of dubious counts from Artemis during this one. Some very slow ones for whenever the Sumerian Death Squad were in the ropes, for instance, but very fast when they had the London Riots on the ropes, you know, that sort of thing. So some dubious counts here and there, but a really good match. The ending was a little bit disappointing, just considering that it wasn't brilliantly executed, but, you know, that's a very, very minor quibble for what was a good match between these two teams. Second time I've seen these guys go at it. And yeah, really, really good stuff. And the London Riots are picking up the win in that one. The second match of the show, considering it's the obviously the main event is going to be the Battle Royal, the IPW World title match was actually the second match on the show. It was Bad Bones John Klinger defending the title against Big Bad Dave Mastiff. Quite frankly, go out of your way to find this match. It was absolutely superb. A really slow build, a lot of technical stuff for a good 8-9 minutes before they really started delivering the heavy shots and the heavy slams. Brilliant stuff. Mastiff hitting a full 60-second count delayed vertical suplex at one point. His forward rolling Samoan drop looked fantastic. Bad Bones himself, no stranger to power moves himself, he got Mastiff up from his knees in a vertical suplex, which was incredible. And these guys just an amazing match with Bad Bones eventually retaining the belt with the Wrecking Ball knees on Mastiff. But these guys got a standing ovation and deservedly so. Superb match. See this match. Up next was a little bit of a filler for the evening. It was the Eagle's Nest. This, of course, was hosted by the Mexican Eagle, who debuted his brand new valet, which was named Sexy Cupid, in attire not entirely appropriate for a family audience, but you know. But anyway, their guest was Shar Samuels, who's been feuding with Mexican Eagle and Jonathan Windsor just lately, with not much success. He's been losing to them quite regularly. It's a very funny segment, as you can imagine, from all these guys. They were very, very funny all rounds. And it ended with Samuels laying out Mexican Eagle and then delivering a huge body slam to Sexy Cupid. That feud continues. The match before the interval was six-man tag team elimination match. Some very unique teams here. It was the team of Jimmy Havoc teaming up with the Wonder Kid Johnny Storm and the WXW's Carsten Beck, who was filling in for the ailing Vince Russo. And their opponents were another unique team, Jody Fleisch, Eugene and Grado. A big feud going into this one between Grado and Havoc. And as I say, elimination rules. We saw Jody Fleisch getting pinned by Jimmy Havoc after a really good rally between him and Johnny Storm. Fantastic to see those two going at it live for me the first time. Some classic Storm Fleisch spots in there as well, such as the 720 DDT and all that kind of stuff. Some great stuff there from Fleisch. It really does not look like he's missed a step at all. So after Fleisch was eliminated, Grado used a little bit of a lying, cheating, stealing style DQ action against Johnny Storm, who was disqualified for apparently using a loaded bum bag against Grado. Carsten Beck was then counted out, leaving Jimmy Havoc to go out alone against Grado and Eugene until Swerve, Eugene turned on Grado. So even with Vince Russo not in the building, there was still a Swerve. Eugene attacked Grado, left him for dead, and left him eliminating himself. And Jimmy Havoc didn't take too long to hit the Acid Rainmaker on Grado, making him the sole survivor. So he then, as Jimmy Havoc was left in charge of IPW for the evening, he then told Grado that as he hasn't actually won any matches in IPW, he has to leave IPW UK if he does not win his next match. And his next match happened to be the Battle Royal, and he's going to be in there from the number two spot. Big storyline drama for Grado during the forthcoming Battle Royal. After the interval, it was a fantastic cruiserweight match between two guys we'd seen earlier in the WXW show teaming up, but this time against each other, Chris Sabin and Will Ospreay. Again, another match really recommend going out of your way to see. Fantastic stuff from these two. Won't go through every single thing they did, but the end came with Ospreay countering the Cradle Shock finisher into a victory roll. Some really good stuff here. You can tell these guys get on really well and work together extremely well too. And really good action from these guys. Sabin really looking good at the moment from the times I've seen him this year. Some very good stuff. So the main event came along next, the 30-man Battle Royal with Royal Rumble rules. Scott Starr in at number one, Grado in at number two. The rules here, of course, over the top rope, to the floor, both feet hitting the floor. But this match was for the vacant All England Championship, so whoever won this match would be the new champion. Another rule in this matchup was that if you eliminated a champion, you would then get a title shot at the next Tunbridge show. So in this one, it was Johnny Storm eliminating Bad Bones, surprisingly. So he gets an IPW world title shot. And at different points, Kieran Donnelly and Danny Duggan of D&D eliminated both members of the London Riots, James Davis and Rob Lynch. So they will get a tag team title shot against the Riots at the next show in May. Anyway, the good action throughout this whole thing. Grado and Havoc brawled apparently around the building. They left for a little while, came back, and they ended up as the final two. Grado at one point looked like he'd eliminated Havoc, but Artemis, who was at ringside and wearing an FU Havoc t-shirt, she actually caught Havoc and carried him a quarter of the way around the ring to put him back in there, which was quite a good power display on her part. But eventually Grado rallied back against Havoc and gave him the wee boot over the top rope, and Grado won the Battle Royal and became the new IPW UK All England Champion. However, Jimmy Havoc, being in charge for the evening, he congratulated Grado, said, "Well done, got the better of me, you kept your job, and you're the champion. But you've got to defend that title, and you're going to defend that title against me right now." So, attack, Artemis gets in the ring, being the official, and Acid Rainmaker later, and new champion once again. Jimmy Havoc leaves with the All England title. So, really good show. Really recommend this show. The last time I went to see IPW UK, I was a little bit disappointed. Not a lot of atmosphere at that particular show, despite some really good action. But this one, totally different situation. This was a fantastic evening of entertainment and an afternoon as well. WXW obviously was great as well. But the IPW show itself is really worth seeking out. I thoroughly recommend you do. Well, that's it for me for this part of the podcast. Thanks very much for listening, and I'll catch you later on in the show where I'll be giving you a preview of this Sunday's Progress Chapter 18. See you in a bit.
This is Jimmy Havoc, the Progress Wrestling Champion. I'm kind of a big deal, but you should know that already. If you come and watch Progress, then you'll know that I fucking hate every single one of you. But you should still follow me on Twitter, at Jimmy Havoc. You're listening to the number one independent wrestling podcast, The Indie Corner.
We're back, guys. Thanks to Dave for that. Much appreciating coming on and doing that for us. Sounds like a great show as ever. You know, we know always know that IPW put on great shows, but and WXW got a big presence over in Germany and across Europe. And you know, some of their guys have been over here in the past, but now coming over here, you know, with a lot more of the guys and putting on a great show. We want to check out on DVD in the future for sure. So what we'll do now? We're going to that little bit with Joel Davis and myself talking about Mark Haskins. So back in a bit, guys. Hi guys, welcome back to the show. As I said just before the break, what we're going to do now is, you know, this thing that I want to bring in on a weekly basis, you know, talk about a wrestler, a team, may even one week, it may even be a promotion itself, but just, you know, go over a few things about this again, like I say, person, team, promotion, whatever, and just a few pointers and bring someone on to talk about it. So I'm joined right now by a good friend of the show. You know, you may have seen him on CNN in the past. yeah, I'm joined by Joel Davis. So first off, how's things today, mate?
Yeah, not bad, not bad.
Yeah, have you recovered, you know, all that limelight of being on CNN talking about Chelsea and stuff like that?
yeah, it's all right. I mean, I'll get recognised a bit, but that's all
right. Yeah, so like I say, we're starting with this feature, you know, focusing on a particular wrestler. You know, on this one we've picked today, Mark Haskins, someone that both you and I are big fans of.
Yep.
So starting with you, Joe, you know, what was your first thoughts on Haskins when you first got to see him wrestle?
Haskins is possibly the reason that I regularly attend British independent shows now, because my first ever independent show weren't that long ago really. I think it was 2012 for the first Rev Pro Young Call show, and the first match the night was Haskins versus DeGuerra, and that match was just fantastic. And then from there I was like, whoa, like, the British scene is fantastic, like, and from that match, that's what me going to like shows more and more often, because like seeing like Haskins, like, it just hooked me immediately.
Yeah,
just how good he was.
Yeah, you've you've seen him in a few different environments, and you've seen him at Rev Pro, Southside, and obviously Progress. So
I got
to see him in different environments as well. And you know, like, you know, much like yourself, you know, I'm a big fan of his. You know, it's been no secret, I've always said for a long time now, you know, as far as when that term is thrown out there, the best UK wrestler, I've always said he was Mark, just because, you know, like we were speaking about earlier offline, you know, just saying, just everything he does, he's so fluid, and and like when he does his bad guy character, he's just so good at it. I've seen him do this bad guy character at Fight Club Pro, where he was absolutely just amazing. That setting was so set from you know, Mark Haskins as a villain, so to speak, you know, just because of the environment, with it being adult environments and the booze flowing and the cage and everything like that. And he was just brilliant at that, in that type of thing. But like I say, and now at Progress, he's come back from his injury, and he's doing that type of stuff again, and he's brilliant. I mean, we both said, obviously, you know, we'd pick a match that we want to speak of. Before I speak about mine, you said, obviously, the first time you've seen him, just talk about the match. Who was it against, and, you know, what was it in the match that, you know, drew you to, and what made you think he was so good or whatever?
It's like, I said, it was against Liguero, and obviously Liguero is obviously playing a good guy, and it was just the fact how he easily drew boos from the whole crowd, just how it's just like, it's something that comes so natural to him, and just when you're watching him in the ring, it's just like, everything has a meaning, like, he doesn't waste any movement, just everything he does just seems to mean something. I think that's what makes
you
get so immersed with him when you're watching him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that. It's the way that, for me, brings it all together. Just as a wrestler, he's really good, nice and fluid and everything like that. Like you say, there's never a wasted motion. His moveset's good. Everything about that type of thing. But then when mixing him with the character that he does, the bad guy character especially, it's just the whole package is better. Yeah. I mean, the match I want to speak of, so I've got to pick one match. It's probably, and like I say, it's the most recent match of his I've seen, and it was only this morning, as an amazing coincidence. But for me, it was just epitomised to me, you know, just how good Haskins is. Obviously, he was in there with a guy who was well renowned as being definitely the best, shall we say, big man in UK wrestling, Rampage Brown. But the match him and Rampage Brown had at Progress Chapter 17 was just brilliant. Obviously, I seen it on DVD this morning. Didn't get to the show that time on the day I was supposed to be there, but I never ended up going. But you were there, you got to see that match as well.
Yeah.
And you know, he was just amazing, and I just thought he was absolutely brilliant.
It
and
was so good.
I was gonna say, just talk about being there live for that, and any what notably stands out from you being there live watching it.
It was just so good, because to both of them two are probably, in my opinion, probably the top two in the UK. Like, seeing them against each other, and it's just, like I said, the best thing about both of them guys is that there's not a waste of a movement between them.
Yeah.
Like Rampage as well, it's just like they seem to work so well together, and just everything about that match. It's other than maybe the ending was a bit iffy, but other than that, it was just like it was so such a good match.
No, that's it. Obviously, the finish was you know one of them. It was a you know obviously without spoiling things for people who haven't seen it. You know, it was a DQ finish to an extent, but while the match was going on, it would that didn't really spoil it for me. If you know,
no,
because
it
the match
was so good at the end, and plus it sets up now for this Sunday for the no disqualification match.
That's what it all leads up to. Obviously, I mean, yeah, of course. Later on in the show, there's a preview to Sunday's Progress show, where, as you say, he's going to be going up against, Rampage Brown once again, but this time in a no disqualification match. So that's just going to be wild. It's going to go all over the Electric Ballroom. Of course, you're going to be there.
Yep.
I'm scheduled to be there. So it's just going to be a wild. Wild match. But yeah, in closing, obviously, you know, this one's going to be a long sandwich, a little chat on one particular person. Yeah, you know, I've been asking a few people about, you know, stuff to do as far as Haskins is concerned and stuff like that, and some suggestions were put to me, and I just want to use one, putting you on the spot now. I haven't even spoke to you about this before, and what UK guy would you like to see Haskins go against?
I'd really like to see him against Will Ospreay. I haven't seen that yet, and I think them two against each other, obviously, is a different, complete contrast of styles.
Yeah.
Will's got the good guy persona, and obviously Haskins playing the bad guy. I mean, I think the contrast of styles and characters could bring us a really special match.
I mean, I've had all day, obviously, to think about it, and, you know, numerous things have gone through my head, and I thought, nah, that match has happened, I've seen that, and then now you've just said that Will Ospreay, and I'm thinking, you know what, I'd love to see that match, but, I don't know in what context, you know, like, maybe as one of them as champion, type thing. Maybe in progress, maybe that'd be a good setting for it. And maybe one of them is champion. Probably as maybe Will being the challenger to Haskins, I don't know. That would be a good one. Nice bit of fancy booking there.
Yeah.
That's my way of saying want Haskins to be champion.
Yeah.
but yeah, you know, yeah, that'd be a good match. And like I say, I've seen so many of his matches, you know. But him against Will Ospreay, he'd be a really good, because, you know, Will's only, you know,
young.
He's not been in the wrestling business a long time, but not giving him, you know, disregard him in any way, you know. He's been in there with some top guys, had some really good matches, you know. And for a young guy who's been in the business, I remember I was there for his first ever progress match, chapter 2, I think it was, maybe chapter 3, I don't know. So it's you know, he's come a long way in a short time, and yeah, you know, I would like to say big things ahead for Will Ospreay, but he's already doing big things. But him and Haskins, you know, that'll be a really good match, yeah, and I wouldn't mind seeing it. So, in closing, mate, anything you want to say, obviously, about Haskins or anything else?
If people are listening and you haven't seen Haskins, make sure you do.
Yeah, starting with, like I say, would be a good thing. Obviously, you can't get to progress this weekend, which is, if you haven't got a ticket, you're not going anyway, probably. Check out that DVD, progresswrestling.com, see how many they've got left of chapter 17, just see that match. I mean, there was a few matches I watched. I have all the matches that are on there, on the first disc. I watched three of them this morning, and every one of them was just brilliant. There was obviously Haskins and Rampage, there was Mastiff and Tommy End, and what was the other one? Oh my god, it was like about 4 o'clock in the morning. Struggling to remember. But I remember thinking, flipping, no, that was it, Noam Dar and Paul Robinson. Three matches, and I'm thinking these three matches are just like, just amazing. You know what I mean? You usually go to these shows, you have one or two good ones type of thing, but they were just like, all of them were brilliant. But yeah, we'll get you on the show again. Maybe even next week, just have a quick talk about, How the no DQ match went and stuff like
that.
Another aspects. But yeah, nice one. Cheers for coming on, and we'll talk soon, mate.
Right, cheers, mate. See you later.
All right, you bunch of mugs. It's the East End Butcher, Shah Samuels, and you're listening to the Indie Corner.
And I'm back again. Thanks to Joe for coming on. Not sure yet who will feature in next week's discussion. So if you've got any ideas of your own, send them over on Twitter at the Indie Corner, and then we'll have a look of what choices are given. Okay, then what we'll do now, we'll go ahead straight back to Dave Green for his preview of this coming Sunday's Progress Wrestling Chapter 18 show.
Podcast, and I've been asked very nicely by Stuart Rogers if I would give a preview for this Sunday's Progress Wrestling show. It's Chapter 18, the show we can't call Progressomania for legal reasons. Lovely title, really cool, but for the moment, for this review's purpose, I'll just call it Progressomania because, you know, it's a bit long. So this Sunday's show comes once again from the Electric Ballroom in Camden and has seven fantastic matches, what look on paper like a very, very good card. Bear in mind, this is also Progress's third year anniversary, and it's a year exactly since they debuted at the Electric Ballroom as well, so this could be an absolute show of the year candidate. Certainly on paper, it looks that way. With seven matches announced, the seventh one at time of recording, announced merely 15 minutes ago, so let's go into the preview. So let's start off with what I think could be, you know, a bit of a sleeping match candidate, you know, the sort of match that could take us all by surprise. Shar Samuels versus Ali Armstrong. Shar Samuels, this I think is his first singles match in Progress. He's no stranger to Progress now, having been solidly booked since Chapter 13 when he filled in for Nathan Cruz. Let's not talk about that. Anyway, since then he's been part of the Screw Indie Wrestling stable. So this is the first singles match for the promotion against the ubiquitous and very unique Ali Armstrong, the Projo standout. He's an interesting character, very entertaining, clearly loves what he's doing, enjoying himself a huge amount, and has a lot of great support from the Progress crowd. He's not the complete package in the ring as of yet, of course. He's still learning, he's still part of the Projo. You know, he's getting there, he's getting more bookings at other companies as well, so the more experience, the better he's going to get. As I say, I think this match could possibly surprise us with its quality, but look for Shar Samuels and Ali Armstrong to really deliver a funny match. This could really be very entertaining for all the good reasons, not necessarily entirely for the wrestling side of things, but this could be a very, very entertaining match. As I said in my IPW WSW review earlier in the show, Shar is just such an entertaining wrestler. I think he's hands down the most entertaining. You know, he's not my favourite wrestler to watch for, technical standpoint and things like that, but he can wrestle, obviously, but he can brawl, and he's just so good at getting under the skin of the crowd, so that will be a very big unique part of this matchup, I think, with Ali's comedy as well. We've also got a couple of debuts happening, so we'll go over the single matches debuts. Two singles debuts that are happening, ironically, against the two guys that are in the Natural Progression Series final at the last chapter. So let's go with the runner-up from that show, Zach Gibson, Liverpool's number one. He is taking on the Progress debuting Damo O'Connor, Big Damo. I've been waiting to see this guy live for a very long time, ever since I first saw him on a YouTube clip from ICW. This guy is absolutely incredible, as I'm sure most of you will be aware. A huge guy, 300-pound hairy bruiser from Ireland. This could be a really big clash of styles, but I think this could be a very big match tonight contender between these guys. Zach Gibson, so glad to see him back in Progress, just for the fact that obviously it's not part of the Natural Progression Series. He's really done well, and is again one of those bad guys that he's not there to be a cool bad guy. He's there, he's old school, he likes to be the bad guy, a proper bad guy, does not want to be cheered. And for that, I absolutely love him to pieces. He's absolutely superb. Great technical wrestler, of course. But Damo, the big bruiser that he is. This is obviously a difficult one to call. I think just considering it is his big debut, I'm going to go with Damo over Zach on this one for now. This could be but as I say, match of the night contender, possibly. I just realised I didn't give you a winner prediction for Shah versus Ali. I'll go with Shah Samuels for the previous matchup. Okay, let's go with the other debuting wrestler against the man who won the Natural Progression Series, which of course was Flash Morgan Webster. Debuting for the company this time around is Bubblegum. Now, this guy is a veteran of the UK scene for the last 10 to 12 years, very well known on the UK scene. And to be debuting in a company, it must be quite an unusual position for him, because a lot of people down south have probably not seen a lot of him. I've not seen a lot of him, to be quite honest. I'm really anticipating what this guy can do in the ring. What I have seen of him, I know he's very good, and I know he's a very interesting character. Obviously, he's coming off of a big hot streak at the moment, having won the PCW Road to Glory tournament this past weekend. I'm sure he'll be looking to impress, and he could go down very well in front of the Progress regulars. But for this one, I think I'm going to go with Flash to win this one, just to carry on his momentum, because he is chasing the title now that he's the Next Progression Series winner, because he could cash in that title shot at any time. Let's bear that in mind for possibly later in the show. Next up, another singles match is a no disqualification match. Latest in the feud between Mark Haskins and Rampage Brown. A no disqualification match due to the fact that Haskins and Brown went at it one on one at the last show, and Haskins got himself disqualified and beat down Rampage with a steel chair. This one again. This was a fantastic match when they had the normal one on one matchup. No DQ brings it. A new dimension, of course. This one probably be brawling all over the building. And I probably will see that Rampage will win this one and move on from this feud so both men can actually concentrate on the Weekender tournament. One thing I definitely am definitely sure about, there will be a lot of Haskins chance throughout the match. Moving on to a match that has just been announced, as I said, as I record this a little while ago. This is a matchup for the number one contendership to the Progress Tag Team titles. It is the team, the very unique team, of Chuck Mambo and Pastor William Eva, otherwise known as Sweet Jesus. That's such a brilliant name. Brilliant. Well done. They take on a team that has been anticipated at Progress for a very long time. A team of Tommy End, Michael Dante, the Cimmerian Death Squad. I feel like I've talked about them quite a lot today. Here I am talking about them again. As I said, this one just been made for the number one contendership. Sweet Jesus recently faced off against Champions of Faces at the last Endeavor show and won the match by disqualification. Whereas the Sumerian Death Squad, Tommy End promising to bring Dante along the next time he was booked for Progress. So here they are making their debut. Tag title number one contendership. Got to give this to the SDS. As much as I love both Pasta and Chuck, I've got a feeling they're going to get destroyed in this one. The SDS just are on another level at the moment in tag team matches, and this one will be a good match. I'm sure Mambo and Eva will deliver the goods in terms of what they can bring to the ring. But SDS 100%, I would imagine this is going to be 100%. They will win this match and go on to challenge the Faceless at a later date. Speaking of which, the tag team title match. I've obviously given my prediction away for how this one's going to go by that last statement, but we'll go with it anyway. The Faceless, whoever they are, taking on the challenging team of the Pride of Wales, Eddie Dennis, and the Wild Boar, Mike Hitchman. This is such a great team. Eddie, of course, bringing along his friend Mike Hitchman in place of Mark Andrews for this tag title challenge. Eddie and Boar will be a great team, I have no doubt. I love seeing Hitchman in the ring. He's such a unique individual with his offense. The Faceless, though, obviously we don't know exactly who is under the masks. A lot of speculation as to who they are. I certainly am sure I know at least two of them. But which two are obviously going to be wrestling? That is the main thing here. Because we never know who it's actually going to be. But I can't imagine the Faceless are going to lose the titles just now, since they've just won them. So I will go probably with Faceless squeaking out a very shady win in this one. With Eddie and Boar going on to different things in the future. Now we go on to the big one, the big main event. This is for the Progress Championship, of course, and it is the defending champion, Jimmy Havoc, defending in a six-man elimination match, his challengers being Noam Dar, Will Ospreay, Marty Scurll, Dave Mastiff, and Paul Robinson. So, a lot of variables in this matchup. Of course, Havoc basically has had feuds with most of the men in this matchup. Robinson being the swerve in this challenge, with Progress Management putting it to him that they're looking to see whether or not he actually wants the gold or if he's just going to stick around and be Havoc's little, for lack of a less rude term, I'll say helper. And he's going to have to make a decision on that night. I imagine there will be some kind of moment during the matchup where Robinson gets eliminated and maybe Havoc could have helped him or maybe he'll contribute to his elimination in some way, not sure, but I imagine something will happen there to give that a new storyline twist for the future. As far as the match goes, this will be absolutely insane. Of course, you've got six guys that are very popular in the Progress ballroom, and they will be all over the place, brawling all over. Ospreay, don't know if he'll do something crazy, but obviously he's not done too many completely crazy moves since his in-ring accident on the 6:30 a while back. But I imagine this is going to go down to either Havoc versus Ospreay or Havoc versus Noam, simply because they seem to be the big fuse going into this one. I'm going to hedge my bets and say that maybe Havoc squeaks out another retention of the title, and that will lead on to something to do with the weekend of tournament in May. But you know what? Having said that, I would not be surprised to see a new champion crowned in this one either. So here's hoping, but I can imagine this is going to be a great main event for a great show. As I said on earlier, on paper, this looks like a potential show of the year candidate. Some really good stuff, really exciting debuts on this one. Nice to see some Endeavor guys getting some more exposure in front of the main show audience as well. So this is going to be fantastic. If you want tickets, tough, they're all sold out. Most of us have sold out like immediately. But do keep looking online, because a lot of people sometimes find that they suddenly can't go and look to give away their tickets. So do keep your eyes peeled for that if you do really, really want to go. In the meantime, just keep looking at the Progress website for more updates. And look for me on Twitter. My handle is @DeGrino. And I'll hand you back to Stuart. Stuart, I shall see you on Sunday, my friend. Thanks a lot for listening, guys. Bye-bye.
Once again, thanks to Dave for that. It's going to be a cracking show on Sunday. I'm hoping to make it there myself, so quite a lot to look forward to. You heard Joe and I speak about it earlier, about, you know, Haskins and Rampage, you know, that first match they had in Progress, which was on the last show, Chapter 17. It was just a brilliant match, and, you know, I know I went on about it quite a bit with Joe, but, you know, you really should try and check out that match either on DVD or when Progress make the download available. You know, check out the whole show, and especially that match. It was great stuff, and this Sunday they're doing a no DQ match. That's just going to be hopefully equally as good, which is definitely going to be wild with it being no disqualification. So that's it for this week, guys. You know, not too much discussion from myself, but, you know, bits and bobs from Loxay Joe and Dave. And what we'll do now to close the show, we'll head over to the US and Justin DiVigilio's US indie news. So, you know, hope you enjoyed this show. Any feedback, again, like I say, at the Indie Corner on Twitter. Send us a message on the Facebook page, facebook.com/theindiecorner. If you want, you can email. That's theindiecorner@aol.co.uk. And yeah, keep an eye out on theindiecorner.com. You know, like I say, great stuff going up there on a regular basis. Please use the banners that are on there to help support us. And we'll see you again next week, guys. Till then, all the best.
This is the King of Old School, Steve Corino, and you're listening to the Indie Corner. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter @TheIndieCorner. You want to hear a great wrestling podcast? Where else are you going to go? The Indie Corner.
Welcome, guys. Justin DiVigilio here to give this week's edition of the Independent Wrestling News segment here on the Indie Corner. I'm glad to be back and doing this. So let's just get into it. I have pretty packed news segment this week. And again, like I said, glad to be back. But here's the lineup. It goes ECWA, Smash Wrestling, AIW, AAW, CZW, AAA, some news from Japan, WWN, and to end it with Ring of Honor. So ECWA is having their 19th annual Super 8 tournament, and I'm pretty sure people have heard, I know people have heard the name. This used to be such a big deal. Names who, people who compete in this are big stars now, like Brian Danielson, Austin Aries, the Hardys, Chris Daniels, Bobby Roode, and that's just to name a few. But here's the card for, actually, here's the Super 8 competitors for the 2015 Super 8. It's The Gift, Jason Kincaid, Jason Kincaid, Napalm Bomb, The Thoroughbred Jackson James, The Hybrid Sean Carr, Corey Hollis, Kay Cantana, The Modern Classics BJ Hancock, and Breaker Morant. And here's some of the matches for that show. ECWA Heavyweight Title Match. It's Elimination Rules, Future of the Business, Ricky Martinez, who's the champ, versus the Future of the Business, Kikoa versus the Vietnam Phenom, Matt Saigon versus Bobby Shields, and ECWA Women's Title Match, Tessa Blanchard, who's the champ, versus Renee Michelle. Now moving on to Smash Wrestling up in Canada, and they have announced that they will be having Smash On Demand, kind of like New Japan World or the WWE Network. It's for only $7.49 a month. It gives you full HD access to all the shows and exclusive content. This is going to a worldwide audience, so that's interesting. It's interesting now that everybody's trying to get into the on-demand network game, you know what I mean? That's interesting, but it's great that independent wrestling promotion like Smash can dive into this venture, even though they've been a company only for 3 years now. That's pretty amazing. And it just shows how hard they're working, which is great for all of independent fans. Now let's move on to AIW out of Cleveland. They will be holding their Gauntlet for the Gold 10. And this is a tournament. So, actually, it's called Gauntlet for the Gold. It's only a one-time year. And the 30 biggest stars of AIW enter a single match to determine who will win an AIW Absolute Championship match at this year's Absolution. Probably their biggest event. This Rumble-style Gauntlet will see the match begin with two wrestlers and have a new entrant arrive every 90 seconds, like the Royal Rumble. The last one standing, if they're all 30 have entered, will be declared the winner. They have an interesting person coming in for this show, and it's the one and only Too Cold Scorpio. Remember him from ECW? Will make his AIW debut when he takes on Ricky Shane Page. Johnny Gargano, who's been pretty much the face of AIW, will clash with Raymond Rowe. He's going to face Raymond Rowe. Davey Vega will defend his AIW Intense title when he attempts to fend off Chris Sabin, Candice LeRae, and Lewis Linden. And also scheduled to be on the show is AIW Absolute Champion Josh Alexander, Veda Scott, Eddie Kingston, Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer, Tyson Dukes, Eric Ryan, and Nikki Storm, Jasmine, Alexia Nicole, Colin Delaney, Flip Kendrick, and more. Now moving on to just Samoa Joe. And he will be appearing for Dreamwave Wrestling, based out of LaSalle, Illinois, I believe. And now moving on to AIW, based out of Berwyn, Illinois. And they announced their event for April 10th. At the Berwyn Eagles Club, April 10, 2015. And so far, it's the Shimmer Championship match, Heidi Lovelace versus the Shimmer Champion. And already signed are Eddie Kingston, Silas Young, the debuting Samoa Joe, the debuting Tommy End, which is pretty awesome as he's trying to make his run here through through America starting at WrestleMania weekend. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Josh Alexander, Ethan Page, Colt Cabana, ACH, Tommaso Ciampa, Lewis Linden, Zero Gravity, Brett Gekaya, and CJ Esparza. Sorry, I butchered that name. Athena, Allison Kay, Kimberly, Ohio is for Killers, Jake and Dave Christ. So that's it for right now. Those are all the people signed. And now, let's talk about their epic. It's epic. It's called the 11th year anniversary event. AAW heavyweight championship match. Eddie Kingston versus Silas Young. A blindfold match. Dick Justice versus Gregory Iron. AAW tag team title match. OI4K. Jake and Dave Christ versus Zero Gravity. Brett Gekaya and CJ Esparza. Athena versus Allison Kay. And scheduled for the show is AAW Heritage Champion Christian Faith, Chris Sabin, Johnny Gargano, Candice LeRae, Lewis Linden, Jimmy Jacobs, Josh Alexander, Ethan Page, Matt Fitchett, Davey Vega, Justin Jones with Knight Wagner and Angela Slane, Dan Lawrence, Marcus Crane, Marion Fontaine, and Paco Gonzalez. See, now on to CZW, as they have another tournament that carries weight in the independent scene. It's best of the best. This one's the best of the best 14. And the competitors for this, well, best of the best 14 takes place on April 11th. And the competitors for this is Jonathan Gresham, Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, Speedball Mike Bailey, Joe Gacy, Joey Janela, Bucks Belmar, Cable Connolly, Aaron Williams, Tracy Williams, and debuting Tommy End. So it's great that he's getting around. And this tournament actually looks pretty stacked, I'd like to say. And just hoping for I saw a match with Tommy End against Andrew Everett from WXW over the weekend. They posted on their YouTube channel. Really enjoy Tommy End. I've seen a couple matches before that, but just wanted to throw that out there. And CZW has also confirmed that the Young Bucks will return to Combat Zone Wrestling in July, on July 11th. So, whoever's listening, just too sweet me. Know what I mean? Just too sweet. That's it. That's all you gotta do. Bucks are working everywhere. Wrestling everywhere. Doing everything they can to stay the best like they are. So now we're going to move on to some news from AAA. On March 16th, AAA was forced again to postpone the Rey de Reyes event, and after advertising and makeup did on Monday, AAA and officials announced shortly before the start of the show that they were unable to get permits to run the show. Now they're advertising the show for Wednesday, and the top match, one of the top matches, is Alberto El Patron versus Brian Cage. The main event is going to be Rey Mysterio making his in-ring return with the former Sin Cara, now Mysties. I can't really say that. Sorry for the mispronunciation of that. And also supposed to be featured on this is Jack Evans. We used to wrestle in Ring of Honor and PWG around the independents, but it really went down to Mexico. And also more regulars from Lucha Underground. That's cool. It's always good. Now on to some news from Japan. And New Japan announced top matches for their next big show, Evasion Attack, on April 5th in Tokyo. AJ's defending the IWGP world title against former junior heavyweight champion Kota Ibushi. So that should be an amazing match. Also, sorry if I'm spoiling this for anybody, but Ibushi won the New Japan Cup over the weekend. Also, ROH tag team, The Kingdom, Mike Bennett and Matt Taven with Maria Kanellis, are challenging the Bullet Club, Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows for the IWGP World Heavyweight Tag titles. And new Ring of Honor tag team, Roppongi Vice, or RPG Vice, Rocky Romero and Trent Beretta, face the Young Bucks as the Young Bucks are defending their IWGP Junior Heavyweight titles. And another Bullet Club member is in a top title match is Kenny Omega, the Cleaner, is defending his IWGP Junior Heavyweight title against Mascara Dorada. And some more news from Japan is New Japan has invaded Noah, kind of like how the Bullet Club invaded New Japan. Suzuki-gun now holds all the titles in Pro Wrestling Noah. So, and this is leading to the show on April 11th for Pro Wrestling Noah, where Taka Michinoku and El Desperado defend the GHC Junior Tag Titles, and Taichi defends the Junior Heavyweight, the GHC Junior Heavyweight title. Sorry if I mispronounced his name again. And Marufuji challenges new champion, new GHC Heavyweight Champion Minoru Suzuki for the GHC title on May 10th. So now to news from WWN and their big WrestleMania weekend, which, as in years past, people have said they have not had good WrestleMania weekends. But this year, they're probably going to have the strongest one, or the most influence, as they have a lot of stuff stacked. So now, they will have their weekend. Yeah, the weekend's March 26th to 28th. And they have pretty stacked lineups for all their shows. The King of Indies tournament is happening this weekend. They're bringing it back. On night one, there's going to be a first ever three-way match, I'm pretty sure. Ricochet versus Matt Cross versus Joey Ryan. And then the next day, which will include the finals on March 28th, the Saturday, is headlined by Ultimo Dragon versus Juventud Guerrera. And now to Evolve and other WWN events this weekend. So Evolve 39 is featuring Evolve title match, Drew Galloway against the Darewolf PJ Black. DJSA title match, Johnny Gargano versus AR Fox, Chris Hero versus Ethan Page, who's debuting, Timothy Thatcher versus Drew Gulak, Biff Busick versus the debuting Tommy End. This guy's popping up all over the place. Ricochet and Uon Nation and Rich Swann versus TJ Perkins, who is returning to Evolve, who's been added, and Caleb Conley and Brian Cage with SoCal Vale, so that's under the Premier Athlete brand banner. Evolve 40, Evolve Champion versus UHA Nation in a non-title match. Ricochet versus BJ Black, Chris Hero versus Biff Busick, TJ Perkins versus Drew Gulak, Aaron Fox versus Ethan Page, Timothy Thatcher versus Tommy End, that one should kill it. Johnny Gargano and Rich Swann back with Ronin, I believe. That's their old tag team name, Ronin, versus Caleb Conley and Brian Cage with SoCal Vale. And WWN Super Show, DJ USA title versus Evolve title, Johnny Gargano versus Drew Galloway if both are still champs, Generation Next coming back if they're a very long time away, Austin Aries and Roger Strong versus Ricochet and UHA Nation, Chris Hero versus Timmy Thatcher, Aaron Fox versus CJ Black, Shine 6 Woman Tag Match. And here's the schedule for WWN Live, as it's Thursday, March 26th, at 8 o'clock start for Evolve 39, Friday, March 27th, a 3 o'clock start for Evolve 40, 8 o'clock start for the King of the Indies Night 1, and 11:55 Keiju Big Battle, not sure what that is, Saturday, March 28th, 12 noon, a Chick Fight Tournament, 4 p.m., WWN Superstar Super Show, Mercury Rising 2015, 8 p.m., King of the Indies Night 2, plus Ultimo Dragon versus Juventud Guerrera. Now on to Ring of Honor, as now they have announced a good amount of the Supercard of Honor show that will be happening WrestleMania weekend, as it's ROH World Title Match, Jay Briscoe defending against Samoa Joe, ROH TV Title Match, Jay Lethal defending against Juice and Thunder Liger in one of his rare U.S. appearances. ROH Tag Title Match, Red Dragon versus The Kingdom. Also scheduled, Roderick Strong, The Addiction, Mark Briscoe, Matt Sydal, ACH, Michael Elgin, and more. It's also reported that Jimmy Jacobs will be going to join WWE as part of the writing team, so he's apparently going to be writing for NXT. So good for Jimmy Jacobs. And now, and some Adam Cole news. Adam Cole has said that he's very close to being able to return to the ring. He said during the Straight Shoot podcast with Aubrey Sisterson that the worst of the injury is definitely over as far as rehab is concerned. Cole said on the podcast, this direct quote, "This week is when I should be able to get back in the gym and start to get training going again, which means I'm one step closer to getting back in the ring." And Cole also said that he's been watching the WWE Network, New Japan World, ROH's Project, and Territory Era Wrestling, getting refocused mentality on his craft while he has been injured. So that's it. Pretty long one for the news this week. Tons of stuff going on. Thank you guys for listening, supporting the Indie Corner, independent wrestling. And you can follow me on Twitter at JDVirgilio4, JDIVIRGILIO4. So that's pretty much it. Glad to be back, and thank you for listening yet again.